Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Introversion Podcast. It is Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. I've been pretty busy. I've been pretty busy lately with the podcast, although you wouldn't know it because right about now I should be posting an episode. I've been kind of posting an episode every Tuesday and every Friday or Saturday, and I've kind of broken that schedule a little bit. I'm due for posting an episode today. And although I have been busy interviewing guests, I've actually interviewed 3 guests in the last 4 or 5 days. So there's a lot of good stuff coming your way, but there's also a lot of editing to be done. I'm really kind of spicing up the episodes, adding in some pop culture bits and just tightening it up. It's pretty raw though. There's not much edited out. But yeah, so I've had, on Thursday night, I had a conversation with Francis, AKA the other guy of the Online Friend Simulator podcast. And Friday, my buddy Tommy Danger came up and we recorded for a record setting 4 hours Friday evening. Yeah. So we, busted open a bottle of Riesling and went to town. Yeah. It was a good time. Good time. Bonding with my buddy, you know, talking about pretty much everything that's relevant to our lives between him and me, but also a lot of stuff there that's affecting a lot of other people as well. We talked a lot about New York and the pandemic and life in 2020 and whatnot. And then yesterday I just interviewed Christina Weber, who I was excited to have on the podcast. And that episode will be coming up soon. At the moment, I'm thinking I'm going to post Tommy Danger next after this solo episode I'm recording right now. And then probably Francis next, and then Christina Weber. But all of those should be coming out within the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So they'll be coming. They'll be coming at you.
Coming at you!
And it's weird, with so much content that I've already recorded, and it's pretty much getting ready to go, you'd think I would just post those episodes. And why start a brand new episode now? You know, why hit record and do a solo episode? But I want to talk about sort of the, I don't want to say the aftermath of these 3 interviews, but, you know, each one of these 3 interviews, which again, you'll be hearing in the next week or so, and each one was entirely unique. One was with a guy who I've never met in person, Francis, so we're kind of brand new to each other. The second was with my buddy Tommy, who we go way back. So we communicate in a certain way that's pretty raw. I mean, we're like 2 dudes, like, going at it, you know, so we're doing what 2 dudes do, you know, so we're just talking very honestly. And, you know, some people would find a lot of things we said offensive, or just the way we communicate offensive.
You called what you said locker room banter.
But I don't want to hold back. You know, I don't want to censor ourselves to make it more appropriate, you know, and I don't think he wants to either. So I think we both want to put our true selves out there. You know, and that's what we did. But it's interesting because I am kind of curious, and if anybody wants to reach out and tell me this, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. But after you listen to probably the Tommy Danger episode first, and then the Francis episode, and then the Christina episode, I wonder if you'll get the impression, and I hope I'm not ruining it right now by planting this seed in your head, but it is something that I was thinking about and reflecting on these recent recordings. But I wonder if you'll get the feeling of like, wow, who is this guy? Who is this Jay guy? One second he's like cussing up a storm, talking shit with his buddy, and then the next second he's, you know, uber polite and respectful and listening to the guest attentively. And but it's all me. And I hope the takeaway would be, even though it might seem like I'm talking in 3 different ways to 3 different people, I want it to be known I'm not faking any of it. Like, it's all real. It's all me. And the way that I interact with different people, it is unique to each person. And I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's, I think it has something to do with my adaptive personality. And I think growing up in the military, like, you just learn to be a chameleon and you adapt to the conversation you're in, and you adjust to your sense of the other person, not just stylistically, but I feel like each person communicates in a lot of different ways. And maybe that's not the case for all people, but for me, I definitely talk differently with a lot of different people that I know And certainly when I meet people for the first time or I'm interviewing people for the first time, I probably tend to be a lot safer. I don't want to say anything to offend them or upset them. So until I really get to know who they are, I'll probably play things pretty safe, pretty conservatively. So yeah, that was kind of how these three interviews played out. But I'm really proud of all three interviews. I really had a good time. I think they did too. I think we got into some really juicy topics. And we were all three of us, or I should say all four of us, my three guests and me, were able to talk very openly, very honestly, without judgment, and kind of share personal things in our lives. And I think that's great. And I think that's what this podcast is all about. It's about people, it's about real people having real conversations. And there's not necessarily an agenda here. It's not about certain people or myself being right or wrong. I've said it before that things that I say today, I might very well say something completely differently about a certain subject in a week or tomorrow. And I think that's totally fine. And I think we live in a culture, unfortunately, where it's all about right and wrong. You have to be right and you can't be wrong. And I don't think there's a lot of grace in that. You know, I've been wrong about so much in my life. I mean, most of you listening probably already know about my background as a Christian. And I'm like, if I could be wrong about so much and then leave that religion and, you know, I could be wrong about anything. So I take everything, every news source, everything that everybody else says, every video that I watch, like all the media I ingest, I take it all with a grain of salt. And you know what else? I also take myself and my own beliefs and views today. I take those things with a grain of salt. And I actually think this is healthy. I think it's a certain... there's a certain sense of humility there, where also when you factor in sense of humor, you know, I think a lot of people are too proud in a certain sense or too confident in their views that they're definitely right and the other side is definitely wrong. I don't feel that way, you know, like obviously if I think something is right, there's reasons why I think it's right. And some things I might feel more confident about being right about than other things, but I don't mean, and I probably am guilty of this too, of demonizing the other side or other people a little bit, but I'm certainly not as bad as a lot of people I know. But I try to deal with people respectfully, even if I don't agree with them. And I would like the same courtesy extended to me. It feels kind of hard to find that, especially on social media. And, you know, there's always things I want to say and in a knee-jerk response kind of way. And a lot of times I don't end up saying them because if I post it on Facebook, it's just going to get a minor backlash or whatever, or people, you know, giving me a hard time about it. And then I have to defend my views more. And then it kind of wastes more time. And, you know, this is a recurring theme. I've said similar things before, so you guys are used to hearing that. But at the same time, sometimes you just need to rant. You just need to get things off your chest. You just need to say them. And maybe you can do that in the good old days before 2020, where you just meet up with your buddy, your friend, your spouse, lover, whatever. You go down to the bar and you have a couple of drinks and you just, you know, yell and scream. Ah! I'm a man! Ah! About, you know, whoever just pissed you off or whatever just happened. And you get it out of your system and you go on with your day. But we don't really have that as much in 2020, and I certainly don't have that, so.
A few moments later.
Hey, everybody. I got interrupted with a delivery. So I don't even remember what the last thing was that I was saying. So my apologies for that, but the show must go on, right? So here we go. So whatever I was talking about, we're going to shift away from that. And the episode is titled, well, actually, I haven't decided on the title episode yet. So it's, but it's either going to be Optimistic Pessimist or Pessimistic Optimist or some form of that. So, and what I'm kind of getting at there is, you know, I mentioned earlier about the three conversations I had with my most recent guests, Francis, Tommy, and Christina. And how it kind of got me thinking, especially with the Francis and Christina interviews, because I feel like in a way they were kind of coming at me very optimistically, and it's almost like my true colors of how jaded and pessimistic I am started to reveal themselves. It got me thinking, how optimistic am I or how pessimistic am I? And it's really hard for me to pinpoint that. And I think this is one of those questions where throughout my life, it's hard to pinpoint it, you know, a clear answer. And I really don't know, you know? And some of you may think, wow, Jay Caslow, he spends a lot of time introspecting and he's got introversion and he spent so many years blogging and talking about his life and his thoughts. Like, you'd think if anybody would be self-aware, it would be me, right? Clearly, I should have a solid understanding of who I am and what I'm all about, right? And yet here I am. I can't tell whether I'm more optimistic or pessimistic. Now, given the arc of my life and the things I've experienced, I would almost say that I think earlier on in my life, I was very optimistic. I was very much kind of a bright-eyed optimist, right? And I just thought things are going to work out. Of course, things are going to work out. And maybe a lot of kids are like that. I mean, if you have a healthy enough childhood, you know, that's not abusive and whatever else, like I think if you have a fairly normal childhood, not that mine was normal, as I talked about how I moved around every couple of years, and that was something that still kind of messes with me nowadays as an adult. But still, you know, it wasn't like severely abusive or anything like that. So let's just say I had a healthy childhood, relatively speaking, or like a normal, relatively healthy childhood, like maybe most people do in America. If you're like a normal person, right? If you're a regular person out there, I think when you're younger, the world kind of revolves around you, right? Like if you're having a good day, that means the world is having a good day. If life sucks for you, that means life just sucks in general for everybody. You know, it's like, I think it's part of the maturation process. You know, as we get older through adolescence into, you know, in entering into our teens and our 20s, like I think part of the maturation process, especially into the 20s and 30s, and not necessarily everybody goes through this process. You know, some people remain quote unquote immature and they still think everything in the world revolves around them. And they fail to take a step back and realize like, oh, wait, I'm just me, but I'm just one tiny little drop in the ocean of this whole world, right? But I think when people actually become more mature, they start to realize that the world doesn't revolve around them. And I think an even more mature perspective to have is, yeah, sure, the world doesn't revolve around you, but your world does revolve around you. And I think that's a key distinction to make. Because if you just come to terms with the fact that, yeah, the world doesn't revolve around you, it can lead people to be kind of jaded and negative, and you start to feel like, you know, fuck all, right? Or when you see the world falling apart, as we've seen a lot of that happening in 2020, you can start to feel like, well, because the world is falling apart, therefore I'm falling apart, right? And this is where I think it's really important to make the distinction. There's you and your world, and then there's the world out there, right? And obviously the two are interconnected, of course. There's not one without the other, but I think it's important to make that distinction, and right, both can coexist at the same time. So the world is out there happening, and you know, after you die, the world will continue going on without you, and that's the case for all of us, right? So the world is certainly bigger than any one of us, but that's not to say that you're small and meaningless and insignificant. You know, maybe in the grand scheme of things, not to depress people, but like 500 years from now or 100 years from now or 200 years from now, nobody's going to even remember your name or what you did or anything. So in that sense, your life will be meaningless, you know, especially if you didn't have kids, you know, and they can't even point back to you in terms of your lineage or whatever, you know, like grandkids and generations to come and all that stuff. So if you're single and you don't have kids and you die and, you know, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, nobody will even barely remember that you exist. And again, I don't want to say that to depress people, because I understand that can be kind of depressing to wrap your head around that. And I've spent some time for sure wrestling with that idea. But yeah, I want to get back to this point about like optimist, pessimist, and how I think my main point there was that when we're younger, a lot of us tend to be optimistic, like there's so much potential in life and, you know, you're going to fall in love, you're going to meet the girl or guy of your dreams, you know, you're going to have kids, you're going to the white picket fence, success, money, a great car, go on vacation, see the world, like all those things, right? But then you get older. And I think for a lot of us in our 20s and 30s, like, we're so trying to figure it all out, and we're trying to create a reality for ourselves that matches with that picture in our head of how life is supposed to shape up, right? What it's supposed to be. And until you get there, there's often kind of a gap between your reality and what you pictured for yourself. And I think the older we get, if your reality is still not matching up with the picture of your life that you expected or wanted or desired, however you want to phrase it, if that gap continues into your 20s and 30s and into your 40s and beyond, I think it leads to, you know, if people are actually self-aware and in touch with these things, it leads to a certain degree of jadedness, of cynicism, of skepticism, of pessimism. And that's certainly where I'm at. And that gap was huge for me when I turned 30, because I just kind of took that moment to survey my life. And I was like, wow, the thing that depressed me the most or bummed me out the most was not only was I not where I thought I would be at 30, basically married, and if not having a kid already, like kind of with a kid, you know, on the horizon, starting a family and all that. But not only was I not there at 30, I had no momentum toward achieving that. And that was what kind of freaked me out and shocked me into, you know, coming to grips with this separation between the reality and essentially the fantasy, right? Because, you know, we're all fairly in touch with our reality, however grim it may be. And for some people, their reality is so shitty that they conjure up a fake reality in their mind that is not in line with actual reality at all. But putting that aside, most people are like, yeah, okay, I'm making this much money, I'm dating this person or I'm not, and I'm in this relationship, or I have this child or not, or I have this car. Like, you can kind of just check things off the list and be like, okay, this is my reality at this point in my life. And so I think people in general have a pretty decent idea of what their reality is in the moment. Now, I think, and this is just my theory, but I think in terms of the reality they want, there's two things. There's how clear of a vision do people have of the reality they want, right? And I would say most people do not have a crystal clear clarity. You know, that picture of what exactly what they want their life to be is foggy. You know, again, this is my theory, but I think most people, or a lot of people out there, the picture of their life, of what they want it to be, and again, I think this it changes and it evolves with age and with time, you know. So when you're a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old, you're like, oh, I've got it all figured out. I'm going to be an astronaut and I'm going to be the president and I'm going to, you know, have a hot wife or great husband and like three kids, and this is what their names are going to be. And, you know, so you have a clear vision when you're a child about your future, but that clear vision can completely change, you know, 3 days from now. So it's hardly accurate, you know, because you just don't have enough information. It's just kind of pie in the sky dreams. But you have a clear vision, like, I want this, I want that, I want that. But then when you get older, you're like, well, you know, that was silly. And yeah, that's probably not going to happen. Or maybe it could happen. You know, this particular thing, maybe I can still be an astronaut, or maybe I can go back to school and do this or that or whatever, or maybe it's not too late for me to get married, or, you know, whatever. But I think the older we get, if your reality is not as great as you'd like it to be, I feel like that fantasy, that picture, it starts getting foggier and foggier. And I think the older we get and the more responsibilities we have and the more things that stress us out in life, and 2020 is a classic example of that, of how I've gotten sucked into all these pandemic debates and Black Lives Matter debates and just like all this stuff and political election debates and all this. Like, we're sucked into all of these things happening in society, again, in the world out there, but not necessarily super relevant to our personal world, like your world, my world. We get sucked into all that. And meanwhile, time goes on and months go by and we're neglecting our world, our personal world, my world, you know, what you and I, what we want for our life. And we can only afford to do that for so much time because we have finite lifespans and we can't really dilly-dally around about these things. And yet we do. Pretty much every single one of us. Like, I don't want to lay out that. I mean, some people are probably right on the ball and they're totally moving forward with their plans perfectly and exactly the way they want. But, you know, those exceptional people aside, most normal people out there are just getting caught up in all of the things of the world out there, and they're losing track of their own personal world and what they want for themselves. So I've thrown out a lot of ideas there. Hopefully this is making sense and all stringing together, but bringing it back to this optimist, pessimist thing, one of my main points there is that I think a lot of us start out more optimistic. And then as time goes by and there's still a gap between your reality and the fantasy of what you wanted your life to be at any particular moment in time or just in general, it leads to that jadedness, that cynicism. So I guess one way of me phrasing this is that it's almost like every optimist or every idealist, well, not necessarily every, but you're going to have your optimists, and we all know these people who are optimistic no matter what. They could be through, like, go through the ultimate shitty life by age 20 and 30 and 40, and guess what? They wake up every morning, and they're like, you know what? This is going to be the best day of my life, and things are going to turn around, and the rest of my life is going to be awesome, and good for those people, you know? God bless the optimists, right? But I think for a lot of people, and myself included, I was way more optimistic earlier in my life, and now I've grown tired of being optimistic almost. And I've grown jaded and cynical and skeptical of things. You know, I feel like institutions, religion, government, politicians, like all these, like I don't trust people out there. And then you talk about the people who are actually in your life, family members, friends, and lovers. And if you're a guy, do you trust women? If you're a woman, do you trust men? Like, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of distrust in my heart toward people. And I'll come out and say it. I'll say there's a lot of dislike that I have toward people nowadays. The way I see people carrying themselves and expressing themselves in 2020. And I'm like, wow. It's one thing for me to say that social media is toxic, but then when you start breaking it down on an individual level, I feel like a lot of people out there are toxic, you know, and they're toxic. Clearly, they have some serious issues, anger issues, resentment, bitterness, jealousy. I mean, you name it. So not only are they toxic to themselves, but they'll be toxic to you too if you're in their periphery, you know, if you're in their field of view, if you're in their line of fire, watch out, you know. You're going to get hit with all their negativity, with everything, with all their issues, and they're going to become your issues. So, yeah, I don't know. So going back to these conversations I had where I was kind of confronted with a healthy dose of optimism from Francis and Christina. And Christina posed, I don't want to spoil the interview because it was really a great chat we had, and I want people to hear that fresh in a week or so. But presumably, you might be listening to this today, and then you won't even hear that episode for another couple weeks, so you'll forget about it. So it's not necessarily like a total spoiler here, but she asked some very poignant questions and, you know, things that got me thinking. And one of those questions was something along the lines of, would you want, like, as a single guy, right? Do you want to live the rest of your life without women in it? And I think what she was getting was, you know, I have female friends. I know women. I interact with women on the street, whatever. But, like, I think what she was getting was, like, women in a romantic sense, you know, like being in a relationship, sexual romantic relationship, you know, marriage, not even necessarily marriage and kids, but just, you know, one thing leading to the next thing. But, you know, with this whole MGTOW thing that I've been doing for the past year and a half, in a sense, it's kind of working for me in terms of clarity of vision, in terms of productivity and efficiency and getting more things accomplished, doing what I want to do with my life creatively, you know, also just less stress, you know, less drama, less headache in that regard. And, you know, what is it? Stress kills, right? Stress is what kills you at the end of the day. And I don't want to just say that we should try to make our lives as easy as possible, because easy is not necessarily the answer to meaning and purpose and happiness and joy in life. We have to do things that are difficult. We have to face difficulties and obstacles and overcome those things, because I think that's what provides us a greater sense of satisfaction and meaning and purpose in life. But you have to choose your battles wisely. And I think with the whole MGTOW thing and really just not bothering with women anymore and dating and all these things, relationships, I've just kind of been thinking about it like, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze, as they say, right? So is it worth it to have to put up with so much and have to sacrifice so much of yourself in order to make it work in a relationship with somebody? These are very important questions. And I haven't been thinking about these questions so much lately, just because I've just kind of accepted the MGTOW path. And I'm just like, eh, you know, I certainly haven't had reason to step outside of my views. It's not like some dream girl has come into my life and we've totally hit it off. And, you know, that hasn't happened at all. Like I said before, I haven't been on a date in a year and a half since I adopted MGTOW as a philosophy, as sort of a lifestyle. And you'll hear as I talk with Christina, but one of the things I said is like, look, you know, nothing is set in stone for me. If I meet a great girl tomorrow, you know, and we start hanging out, getting to know each other, and we're both attracted to each other, I'm more than happy to go for it, you know, and see what happens. Obviously, with everything I've learned and experienced in life, I would be guarded. I know some therapist type experts would say I need to let my guard down in order to create intimacy with a woman, or, you know, was this with another person? And yeah, there's that, but I don't know, right? Once bitten, twice shy, right? Or, you know, when you get burned, you're always going to protect yourself more as you move forward. So yeah, I don't know. There's not a whole lot more I'm going to say about this right now. I think this is kind of sort of an intermediate episode. Think of this as kind of like a foreword to this next series of three interviews I'm going to post in the next week or so with probably Tommy first, Francis, and then Christina. Because I really enjoyed the three interviews and they've gotten me thinking in different ways, which is good. It's always good. I don't think any of us should get so locked in our views and our ways of thinking that we're never open to hearing or seeing a different perspective, you know? Because ultimately, I think that's what life is. Like, this is all a process, you know, of figuring out who you are, what you want out of life, and then kind of devising a plan and figuring out a pathway to getting there, right? And going back to the metaphor and the language I was using earlier, it's about your current reality and then this fantasy you have of what you want your life to really be like, and then it's like bridging that gap, right? That's what it's all about. And hopefully for me and for a lot of you, you're able to bridge that gap. Hopefully you're able to make your reality exactly what you want it to be. And hopefully you don't have to suffer through a life where your reality either sucks or it's just okay, like it's mediocre, but it's not what you really want, right? So I certainly hope that for all of you and for myself as well. I want all of us to live the best possible reality for, you know, I want everybody to have a meaningful, joyful life, you know? And it's just a matter of how do you get there, right? Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, because a lot of this comes back to the optimist-pessimist thing. Because if you're optimistic, I think there's more hope for you that if you're not there in life, it's okay, because you will get there, and you believe you will get there, and you will get what you want out of life. Whereas the pessimist, it's almost like the game's already over because they've given up, or they just believe it won't work out for them. Therefore, it won't work out for them, you know? Yeah, got to be careful about the pessimism thing. And I'm speaking to myself here, but also to a lot of you out there. But then, you know, going back to the split, I was talking about my personal world and your personal world, but then what's happening in the world out there. And it's really hard for me in a lot of ways to be optimistic about the world out there. You know, I just hear a couple little bits of news that I trust, not from the mainstream news, but I hear some other bits of information from other sources. And I was like, wow, you know, that sucks. You know, and sometimes it just feels like we're damned if we do, damned if we don't, no matter who we vote for this election. You know, there's just other forces at work, and we're kind of fucked no matter what. And when you start to hear some of these things and realize some of these things, and you're like, ah, damn it, like, how do you not be pessimistic through that? I don't know. Part of me almost feels like the only way I can be optimistic about the future is to have a sense of humor. And to have an attitude of like, ah, fuck it. You know, the world goes to hell. Everything falls apart. Economy, the dollar, you know, men and women dynamics, relationships, you know, depopulation, like disease, bubonic plague, whatever. You know, it's like if all this shit happens, you know what? Just it's like Monty Python, right? The Life of Brian. Always look on the bright side of life.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Which you could say is cliche, but the way they do it, it's not really cliche. It's kind of mocking. It's accepting the fact that life is really shit when you look at it.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it.
Yeah. Huh, I hadn't thought about that scene or that movie, that song in a long time, but I think that... I think that is actually a remarkably healthy view to have with life, is almost looking at everything like it's one big cosmic fucking joke. Because that way, no matter what shit goes down, no matter how bad the world gets out there, or how bad your own personal world gets, just laugh, you know? Why so serious? You know, because I think seriousness in that regard, and don't get me wrong, I'm a serious person. A lot of people know me as a very serious guy. But, and I do take things seriously, you know. But I think what I'm talking about here is that when we take things so seriously, kind of what comes along with that is this kind of like, what is stuck up your ass? Like, what... Why? I think that seriousness stems from this idea, this notion that life needs to be this certain way. And you're really strict about that. And you can't laugh at yourself. You can't laugh at other people because you're so hung up on this concept that life has to be this certain way. And I think that's where a lot of us go wrong, you know? And I think we could all use more of a sense of humor, especially in 2020, you know? And I mean, I'd rather crack jokes about coronavirus and I die tomorrow of coronavirus. And then other people can crack jokes at like, wow, what a jackass that guy was cracking jokes about
coronavirus.
That showed him coronavirus got the last laugh and killed him off. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, but at least I enjoyed cracking jokes when I was alive and having a good time. When I'm dead, what the fuck do I care? After I'm dead, if people are mocking me, making fun of me, it's not like I'm be like, oh, my feelings are hurt. I don't have feelings anymore. There's nothing, there's no feelings to be hurt. You're dead. That's it. Game's over. You're not here anymore. So, yeah. Live your life. Have a sense of humor. Enjoy the moment. You know, fuck all. Do your thing. You know, have some ideas. Pursue your ideas. If you're on a wrong path, think about it. Realize. Shift your path. Try something else. Go a different direction. You know, in that sense, I think that's where my optimism lies. In the world we live in today and in my own little personal sphere in this big gigantic world, I think that is where my optimism is. I have to be optimistic that no matter what happens, I'm just going to do my thing, you know? And I'm not going to put my happiness and my joy in the hands of somebody else out there who can totally fuck me up with it, you know? And yeah. I'm not going to make a profound declaration here about, you know, being single or being in a relationship or anything like that. But yeah, I think I'll wrap with that point of a lot of us, whether you're single or whether you're in a relationship or whatever, you can be a lot happier and more optimistic about your path in life. You can. But it comes down to you, how you're going to look at your life, how you're going to look at your experiences and the choices you're going to make. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, at least at the moment, I feel like whether you're a man or a woman, there is a lot of joy to be had in this life. And sure, some things can be wonderful about relationships and family and kids and all that stuff, but there's still so much to do and experience and enjoy in life. Just being on your own and doing your own thing, you know? And granted, some of us have personalities that are much more suitable to that kind of lifestyle. You know, obviously, I am the introvert of all introverts. I am introversion.com, you know? So I'm not going to look at my introversion as a liability. I'm going to look at it as a strength. And a lot of introverts, a lot of us introverts out there, we have that superpower where we're good to go. We only require a very small dose of human interaction. And one of the ways I like to put it, I don't remember if I've actually said this on the podcast before, actually, but it's something I've thought about for a while, which is it's almost like a choice dessert. You know, you don't eat the finest, richest cheesecake every day for every meal. You don't do that. And if you did, you'd feel sick of it and you'd probably be fat as a hog too. So you have it every once in a while and every bite you take, every little, you savor it, you know? That's why, I mean, people who know me know I'm a really slow eater. When it comes to desserts, I am double slow. So I eat so slow, but it's like I'm enjoying it. I'm savoring it. You know, when I see people just stuff their faces with pieces of cake and another one, and I'm just like, wow, like, are you even enjoying it? It doesn't look like you're just plowing through it. And I'm like, wow, you know, but for me, take your time, you know, enjoy, savor the good shit. And like, oh yeah, like I was saying, so as introverts, we don't need to be around people so much. But when we are around people, I think in general, we're probably more selective than extroverts who are out there befriending everybody and anybody. But, you know, it's not a guarantee that introverts would be good at choosing the right people. But, you know, I'd like to think that introverts are a little better at that. And certainly I am, with everything happening in the world and my recent unfriend episodes and all that, I'm getting better at choosing those few people who are going to be in my life moving forward. And, you know, not that I feel like everybody else, yeah, fuck off. Not like that, but just like, yeah, I'm just, you know, those people can just be out on the periphery, you know, minimal interaction with me. And, you know, they're, I know a lot of people, but I'm getting better about being more selective. And I think that's really important, not just for us introverts, but for everybody. I think we all need to be better at being selective, not just in terms of the people in our life, but the choices that we make, what actions we take, you know, what habits we form. Because all of this, again, it comes back to that, your current reality and then the fantasy out there, right? Or the reality you're striving toward that you, and you want to bridge that gap. And the only way you're going to get there, I think, in a limited amount of time that we have in our lifespans, is to be smart, to be selective about how you spend your time, who you're spending your time with, the choices you make. You got to be rock solid about those things. Because otherwise, I think you're just going to drift through life in an okay life, in a mediocre life. You know, and maybe some of you won't even really think that much about like, oh, my life could be so much better if I only did this and that and that. But for me, I want to live the... it's weird though, right? Because it's not even that I want to live the best possible life for myself. Because if I paint this picture of this super awesome thing, like the hottest, smartest, most creative, amazing girl in the world, well, I'm like, in order to get a girl like that, I would have to be the hottest, tallest, you know, sexiest, richest, most creative guy in the world to, you know, to be a 10 to get a 10, right? But I'm like, do I want to make the sacrifices, the other sacrifices in life in order to transform myself into the ultimate human being in order to get the ultimate girl? No, I mean, it sounds great, but it also sounds exhausting. And I've mentioned before, I'm going to do an episode on The Last Dance because looking at Michael Jordan's life and that whole thing, like I really want to do this episode pretty soon, actually, before it starts to get foggy in my mind. But real quick here before I sign off, that was something I really thought about with Michael Jordan, is that the guy just wanted the best. He wanted to be the best, the ultimate competitor, win at everything. And it sounds great. You know, he succeeded at being the best basketball player in the world, perhaps of all time. He succeeded at that. And on the one hand, I'm inspired by that. But on the other hand, I think there's other things in life I would rather enjoy more than being the best out there. You know, being the best designer or the best animator or the best filmmaker or the best podcaster or whatever. Like, it's hard enough to be the best at any one thing. But I think my happiness in life comes through variety. I enjoy so many different things. You know, you have to weigh that. You know, how good do you want to be at certain things? I would, of course, love to be way better at a lot of the things I'm passionate about. But in order to be so extreme like Michael Jordan was to be the best, you just have to sacrifice too much else to get there. And yeah, but anyway, I don't want to go too much into that. I've already probably said too much about that because consider that the teaser for the Last Dance episode coming up. There's a lot to talk about within that episode, plus just talking about sports and basketball in general. But yeah, that's all for today. Hope you enjoyed listening today. Hopefully some good food for thought. And hopefully you'll enjoy this as a precursor to what is to come later this week and next week with the episodes with Tommy Danger and Francis from the Online Friend Simulator podcast and Christina Weber. So three great conversations, all very unique, very different, both in my interaction with them and sort of the ideas and things that they're bringing to the table. So look forward to that. It's coming your way in the next week or so. So, yep, that's all for now. Peace out. Later.
Today's episode is brought to you by
Grayskull Gas and Electric.
By the power of Grayskull.
Okay, He-Man, settle down.
I hope this has been enlightening for you.
The Introversion Podcast is on its way, but we've obviously got a long way to go to get to where we want to be getting to.
I will certainly be doing my part in cranking out new episodes every week, but here's where you come in. If you haven't yet done so, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're currently listening on. That way you can obviously get notified as soon as new episodes arrive. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give a 5-star rating. It just takes a second, and it will empower the Introversion Podcast to rise up and conquer the suppression of algorithms that would otherwise crush this fledgling podcast into unknown oblivion. So yeah, please leave a rating, and even better, an actual review. Just a few words expressing what you dig about the podcast honestly would mean the world to me and would really help provide the motivation to keep this baby growing. Also, I'd love to hear from you at any time. Comments, questions, or if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, send an email to podcast@introversion.com. You can also connect with me on social media. I am Jay Kaslow. That's JayKaslow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, pretty much wherever. I really want the Introversion Podcast to be something special. Raw, informative, entertaining, experimental,
inconceivable,
enlightening, therapeutic for you and me. Let's keep the conversations going about a range of topics that affect us all. Let's rise above all the hate and sickness and sadness and strife that plague this world. Let's seek to better understand each other and ultimately live our best lives. Seriously, let's do this thing.
Thank you. Oh, bye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.